message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read 2-3 verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Is that what your Bible says? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, a few pages behind. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have been reconciled. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 of chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. The Amplified of verse 17 says, for if I do this work of my own free will, then I have my pay, my reward. But if it is not out of my own will, but is done reluctantly and under compulsion, I am still entrusted with a sacred trusteeship and commission. Amen? Is that what you saw on the board? Good. Now, the last reading for today is Matthew chapter 22. It's a scripture we all know. Matthew 22, and I'm going to be reading from verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Amen? Today my topic is make it a habit. Make it a habit. So I can't tell you how hard it took me to get this topic, because I want that when it's on YouTube, if I say evangelism, nobody will listen to it. But make it to happen, make it a habit. They will say, what is the habit? They will look for it. So make it a habit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So from the beginning of the year, we began to look at loving God. You remember? For over 16 for weeks and weeks, we looked at loving God. And because the Bible says it is the first and greatest commandment. That our first duty and responsibility as children of God is to love God. It led us to redefining our vision. We said, everybody, Family Worship Center exists to love and worship God, to demonstrate his transforming love to the saved and unsaved man in order to make him an agent of that love. You remember that? They said it even today at the beginning of the update. So by this redefinition, our first duty to God is to love him. Do you remember that? That our first duty is to love God. And it's a command. In fact, we went to the Old Testament where it kept talking about loving God. If you love and obey my commandment. So loving God is such a big matter to God. And it is a command. It is not something left to your choice. It is our foremost responsibility. So the love of God or love for God must be our driving force. It must drive everything we do. The love of God, we worship him because we love him. We serve him because we love him. We pray to him because we love him. We sing to him because we love him. We come to church because we love him. We give our tithes and offerings because we love him. Everything we do is motivated by the love of God. That is how it should be. Not by compulsion or by culture or habit or because they say we should do it. But you do it genuinely from your heart because you love him. We obey him because we love him. We do everything out of love for him. And not out of duty or religion. Amen. I want to say that it was for the love of God that Jesus did everything. Jesus was motivated by the love of God. You know, they sat down in heaven one day and man had fallen and was Satan had done what he did. And God was asking, who will go for us? Nobody said anything. The Bible says the whole heaven was quiet. But then Jesus understood what was God's heart. He understood the longing, the desire of God, for God to reconnect with man. And out of love for God, out of a need to just remove that burden, Jesus said, I will go. He volunteered because he loved God, because he knew how important it was to him. Now, how many of you know that there are times you have a burden, and if somebody removes it, it feels so good? You know what? Anybody has had that feeling before, that somebody just removes your burden. Jesus removed God's burden because he loved him. I find that so exciting, that Jesus, knowing God, being one with him, knew that if I did this for Jesus, for him, it would make him happy. So Jesus' highest expression of love to God was to come and connect man to God. Have you ever seen sometimes a parent will drive, a child will do something and run away from home? And the mother will say, I don't want to see you again. Okay, very typical example, Absalom and David. Remember when Absalom killed Amnon, and he left. And David began to long for him, but he couldn't say it to anybody. And then Joab, the guy next to him? Joab went to him, and they connived with one woman and told one story and all, and then they brought Absalom back. Although David pretended as if he was sad, but he was happy, because it was like a burden was removed. So Jesus showed his love for God by removing that burden. And that was his highest expression of love. So Jesus did not show God love by the miracles he did or anything. It was by connecting man to God, because he knew how God had missed man. Knowing that man was his greatest passion. The Bible says that his mind is full of him. So when Jesus died, when he came to connect man to God, he showed God, I really love you. And the Bible says because he did that, it was like there was a special name God had reserved for the person who will connect man to him. And the Bible says when Jesus did it, God gave him the name. Not a name, but the name. In other words, there is a special reward for every soul winner. Because you are at the height of doing, so you are removing a burden on God's heart. The Bible says he does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you ever seen that in your Bible? And so every time you connect a man to God, you do something that there is a reward that we don't know. He has already given the name, so there isn't another name, but there is a reward, a special reward to every soul winner. The Bible says everybody who wins souls will shine like the stars. Have you seen that in the Bible? It's a special thing, and Jesus knew it. We have seen in the past few weeks that, like Jesus, if we want to give God the greatest joy, and if we want to express our love to God in the highest way possible, it will be to reconcile people back to God. True or false? Following Jesus' example, the Bible says it's our perfect example, that he laid an example that we should follow in his steps. So whatever we see Jesus do to God, we should do the same to God, because he is setting the example to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want you to know that in the job of reconciling man to God, Jesus did the hardest part. True or false? Ours is to just take what Jesus had done and explain it to people. And appropriate it to our lives, see the changes that it makes in our life, and then tell other people. We are just to tell the story of what Jesus has done, but Jesus really did the work. Ours is to make them connect connect what Jesus did to themselves, and then connect them to God. Praise the Lord. We saw in the past few weeks that nothing honors God like a constant increase in his kingdom through soul winning. Soul winning, we learned, gladdens God's heart and causes great joy and rejoicing in heaven. Whenever a soul is saved, there is celebration in heaven. Do you remember me saying that? That when you get money, you get promotion, nothing. But whenever a soul is won, heaven stands still. And the Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of angels. So who is doing the rejoicing? In the presence of the angels, the person doing the rejoicing is God. So the only time God dances in heaven is when a soul is won. Not when you get married or when you get a house, a job. To God, those things are mundane. What is important to God is the salvation of human beings. Let's clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah. God's only interest on earth is souls. When you look at it, there is really nothing God is going to take from this world, from the earth, except souls. In 1 Peter, the Bible talks about the elements of the world will melt. Gold, diamonds, money, banks, any building, everything on earth will melt. The only thing that will leave the earth is souls. So that is God's only interest on the earth. Because of that, God gave us the ministry. As we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All of us seated here. How many of you are born again? You are saved. Let me see your hand. You have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Fantastic. You have a ministry. You remember that? That your ministry is the ministry of reconciliation and it is full-time ministry. It's a daily ministry until you die. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We are here right now for only one reason. To reconcile men to God. That is the most important assignment. Every other thing is mundane. The only important reason, the only reason why you are still on earth, the reason why you and I are still breathing, is God hoping that through us, more people will be saved. Because he doesn't want any to perish. So every day in heaven, there is pressure on God. End it. Let us start our life. And now God is saying, no, just a few more people to come in. A few more people. And so we are here just to connect people to God. Not to make money, not to marry, not to have grandchildren, not to build houses, not to make a name, but to connect people to God. That is why you are alive. And anything short of that, you are wasting God's time, wasting the life he's giving you. If you are living and we are not winning souls to God, we are a waste. Did you hear me? If you are not winning souls to God, you are wasting the trust. You are wasting. You saw it in the Bible that if you preach the gospel, it's good for you. But if you don't, it's a trust. Necessity is laid on you. It's a trust. A trusteeship of the commitment. So anything you are doing in the world outside of winning souls is a waste. Can you imagine the wasted life sitting here right now looking at me? It's not funny. It's sad. Because 20 years later, born again, you don't have one person you have presented to the Lord. I don't know why they changed that song to, must I go and empty, not something about service, rather than not one soul with which to greet him. It is not one soul, not service, but souls. To go to heaven after 20 years, 40, 50 years, God gives you 70 years of living, 80 years of living, and you can't present 10 people, 100 people to him. And people like Billy Graham will present 10 million. Ha! Your reason for the next breath in your nose is God hoping that if he leaves you alive, you are going to bring people to him. Any other thing is a waste. It's nothing. Is that serious? Is that serious? He has given us, he says, that given us the ministry of reconciliation, and he has given us the word of reconciliation. So he has given us the ministry, and he has given us what to say. And the word of reconciliation is Jesus himself, what he did on the cross for us. That you don't even need to preach it. Just say, see me. See what Jesus, this is the work of Jesus. Say, you know me now. You know I was a drunk. You know that I could lie. Nobody lie, I lie. You carry, you come out from Lagos, come Abuja. But see, God has changed me. That is the gospel. You don't need to say John 3:16 or 1 Corinthians or Thessalonians. No. You are the Thessalonians. You are the Colossians. You are the Matthew. You are the John. You are everything. If you see me, you see the Bible. Because this is what God has done in my life. Anybody hearing anything this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. Put it up there. It says, if I preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. 9 verse 16. Did I copy it? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe, damned, condemned is me if I do not preach the gospel. So I was not telling you stories. Woe is... Hakika, it don't bad. I am damned, I am finished if I do not preach the gospel. That's what that verse means. I wish I could see the Warri Bible and see how they depict it there. I'm telling you, maybe look it up for me for fun. So I check the word necessity. Okay, verse 17. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship. Another version, ERV, of that verse 17. ERV, quickly, help me. Okay. If I did it because it was my own choice, I would deserve to be paid. But I have no choice. In the matter of soul winning, you have no choice. In the matter of tithes and offering, you have a choice. He said, don't do it with compulsion. In the matter of soul winning, he says, if I must tell the good news, I must tell the good news. So I'm not only doing the duty that was given to me. Is that all he said? Okay, so let me go up. If I did it because it was my own choice, I would deserve to be paid. But I have no choice. I must tell the good news. So I'm only doing the duty that was given to me. Another version, the New Living Translation. How does it say? NLT. Okay. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me a sacred trust. Listen, what this verse is saying is that if you do it willingly, good for you. But whether willingly or not, oh ho, just do it. That's the translation in my language. Do it. Whether by force, whether by crying, do it, and I will collect. There are some offerings that you bring, God will not collect. If you bring any soul, anyhow you get it, apart from sinning, just bring the soul, I will collect. Whether you complain or grumble, or bring the soul. Whether you cry, or bring the soul. Whether you do it cursing, bring it, I will collect. It's a trust. This is the one scripture I find that God is not selective in. So Paul said, some people preach Christ of this, Christ of that, Christ of contention. He said, any which way Christ is preached. So if you do it willingly, good for you. You have a reward. But whether you don't do it willingly or not, it's a trust. It's a dole. It's by force you must bring. So have I told them the synonyms of necessity here? Necessity, the synonyms of necessity is an obligation, a sine qua non assignment. In other words, it's second to none. The work of soul winning is second to none. That's why I told you the most important thing here. So can I tell you something? In God's eyes, Bill Gates, Don Quixote, Richard Branson, their work is rubbish compared to the person that is using slippers every day and getting people saved. That person is more important to God. Because the job of soul winning is sine qua non, is second to none. It says the synonyms are compulsion, no alternative, imperative, life or death matter. So the job of soul winning is life or death. So you better start thinking of making it a habit, because it is second to no other job. It is second to none. It is bigger than being a doctor. It's bigger than being a senior advocate. It's bigger than being a president. It is bigger than doing anything. It is second to nothing. It is the number one job of a Christian. It is assigned by God himself. It occupies the core of God's agenda. Can I tell you something? Something I've noticed. There is none of you sitting in this room that I can ask for anything that you won't run over your head to do it. If I come to some of you now and I say, I need 5 million, and you have only 100,000, you say, Pastor, give me time. And within a week, all of you will bring it. People do things for men of God or for people they respect. I mean, I told them the example. The other day, the book I wanted, Antikai sent me a text and quoted something in the book. I said, what is the book? She told me. I said, where is it? I want it. Tell me what. She said, no. Antikai is 70-something years old. Entered her car. In no time, she brought the book to me.
God has given us an assignment. God Almighty. And we are not running over helter-skelter. We are not doing anything. We are just sitting down there as if we have all the time. And you know, God is just giving us this time to redeem us. To redeem us so that we don't get into his trouble. Because to walk around heaven without souls will be a miserable experience. He said, hey, let me just enter. No. To stay forever without any class or any respect or honor is not going to be a good thing. And so God is giving you the chance to redeem yourself. If this is God's agenda and God's assignment, we must be about it. In the way you would serve me, more than me, you should be running all over the town to please God Almighty. Because it is he who gave you life, not me. Thank you. So until the kingdom of God comes into the hearts of everyone connected to us and everyone around us, we are in contact with, we are not carrying out his command. We are not carrying out his assignment and we are not carrying out his instruction. Actually, we are disobeying him. And the proof for genuine love for God is bringing souls to his kingdom and advancing his kingdom. The only thing on God's mind is his kingdom. And that's why Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will to be done on earth is for people to be saved, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the will, nothing more. So, you know, I used to pray and I would think that maybe God will just make everything peaceful and wonderful. No, that is not that prayer. The prayer is that let God's kingdom come into the hearts of people. Come on. Let God's kingdom come into the hearts of people. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, knowing God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Supposed to come. That is when people accept Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has come. As it is in heaven, so it has become on earth. Because the plan is that they will be in heaven. God is hoping their names are written in heaven. So if their names are written on heaven, in heaven, then God's will has been done on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing is bigger than that. That there will be a government of God now upon this earth where there will be peace, not lie. The only peace is that the peace we give to people through Jesus Christ in their hearts as they accept Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? I'm preaching better than you are clapping. You better clap so that more good things will come out. Hallelujah. This is life. Winning soul is both a service and a sacrifice. It is the highest service we can give to God. And it has the greatest sacrifice you can make as a child of God. Because you have to deal with fear. You have to deal with the fear of rejection, the fear of failing, the fear of not being listened to, of not succeeding, the fear of being attacked, and the fear of the unknown, just being vulnerable. You have to deal with shame, pride, discomfort of talking to somebody about a faith you may not even have the language to communicate. But when you do it, it is so worth it. Because now you are loving God at the highest level. And by reconciling men to him. When evangelism is not easy and comfortable. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It wasn't easy for Jesus. Jesus saved you afraid. Jesus saved you in pain. He saved you in distress. He was troubled. It was like a woman in labor. To give birth to you in the spirit. Jesus went through it. He suffered, but he had to go through it. He had to defeat the fear. He had to defeat the shame. Do you know that they nakeded Jesus? I'm glad. You say, what is that? Nakeded. They nakeded it. You say, is that English? Yes, I just created it and it's acceptable in the Encyclopedia Britannica. They nakeded him. The King of Glory, naked. Pain. On his way. At a point, it was too much. He said, Father, please take this cup away from me. That was what it cost to save you. Pain, shame, embarrassment. Put up for me Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. Quickly, Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful. This is on the way to Jerusalem. Began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Right now, as I'm talking about evangelism, your head is scattering. It's, Pastor, this one that you're doing, how am I going to start from where? Me that I'm so afraid. I'm afraid they may kill me. Jesus went through it. Verse 30, the next verse. Then he said to them, read what he said to them, everybody. Has your soul been so sorrowful even to death yet? He is worse to save you. That is what he went through. He went through beating. He went through people doing on his face. They spat on him. They slapped him. They put a ton of crown on his head, a crown of thorns. They tore his clothes. They did every. They pushed. You saw it now in the Passion of the Christ. Do you remember? He went through all of that just so that you'll be saved. And so the little discomfort you are going is because Jesus already laid an example. He went through it so that we can go through it. But he did the hard part. Nobody is going to crucify you on the cross for preaching Jesus Christ. But maybe you will feel a little discomfort. You will feel a little shame. You will feel a little vulnerable. But you will go all the way. Now let me tell you something. After you get the first, second person saved and the third, you become a free person. And it will become a delight. There is no joy greater than getting somebody born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The only joy I can equate or compare to is when a mother, after they clean that baby and hand him over to you, there is a love that is indescribable. You look at that baby and something, a force connects you with that baby. That is the only thing I can connect it, I can describe it to. There is something about giving birth to spiritual children that is incredible. Jesus went through it, so you must through. You must through. So it's a two-part thing. It's Jesus' part and my part. Jesus has done his part. The harder part, now is our part. Jesus went through, we must go through. Did you hear me? Jesus went through, we must go through. No matter the inconvenience we feel and the shame, we must go through. Somebody say, I must go through. According to Bishop Oyedepo, service to God begins in the heart. In the heart. Our attitude to kingdom service is a mirror of our heart. If we love God in your heart, this is mine. If you love God in your heart, it will show in your evangelism. If you love God, it's no longer just coming to dance and shout and they say, this person. No, that's not the love of God. The love of God, we will know your love by your evangelism. That is the height of loving God, is evangelism. Every other one has a story. But when you begin to love, see, a lover of God is a winner of men, a winner of souls. According to Bishop Oyedepo, we can't have a heart for God and not give our all in service. And that serving is bringing people into his kingdom and expanding his kingdom. So you either have a heart for God or a heart for mammon. There is no neutral ground. You have a heart of God when you are bringing people into his kingdom. And you are, or else you are pursuing other things. So listen to me, church. It's no longer enough just to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's no longer enough just to read your Bible and do devotions. It's no longer enough just to come to church and sing and give tithes or give the building pledge. That is not where it's at. It will be enough when you begin to get people into the kingdom of God. And when that becomes a habit. Okay, so listen to me. This is where I've been preaching to come to. Do you know how coming to church has become a habit to you? How many of you say coming to church is normal for me? It's a habit. Let me see your hand. How many of you say tithing is a habit? Singing and praying and dancing in church is a habit. Clapping is a habit. Everything you do is a habit. But the number one thing that should be a habit is what? So until soul winning becomes like you coming to church, like you giving, like you praying and all, you haven't started. Thank you. The rest of you better clap because that, I just gave you the key to your life. Soul winning must be like going to church, must be like praying. It must become a daily thing, second nature, or else you have not arrived. Did you hear me? I have told you, you won't go to God and say, I didn't know. You know that it is supposed to be a second nature. And you better do it joyfully. It's a command. It's a command. It should be your habit. This assignment is not for a few people, it's for all of us, and it's a command, and we must start right away. So how do we do it? How do we do soul winning? Now, the pastor, that you have said, whether by hook or by crook, we must bring souls. How do I start? Number one is praying. I told you that some 3 weeks ago. Pray for yourself. Pray. Pray. And then two, shift your mind. Accept the fact that this is the most important thing you are doing, that if you don't do it, you are a failure in the eyes of God. That you are failing. If you do not save souls, if you do not make this a lifestyle, because that is the only thing on God's mind. So if you do not do it, you are failing. So shift to soul winning.
make soul winning the number one thing of your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number three. Can I teach you how to do soul winning? Start with people that are non-threatening. People that you have authority over. Your driver, your cook, the people under you in the office. Get them saved. Start from little victories. Celebrate those. Don't go and start with the one that Satan is sitting in his parlor. Because Satan will break you into pieces. Practice with all this one. Clean all these small ones. Wreck them into the kingdom. And then begin to experience the joy of saving people. You tell your driver, you need to be born again. Will he tell you no, ma? He will say, okay, ma, how? You get him. That is one victory. You go to the cook. You are getting born again today. Yes, sir. You say that is by force. Bible say anyway, bring him in. The Bible said there are some people you have to compel into the kingdom. So compelling, forcing, cajoling, whatever is allowed as far as the kingdom of God and souls is, you know. Then all the people that are collecting monthly allowance from you, all of you first, come and you need to give your life or else no money for you this year. Yes, Pastor. And you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you go to church. Or else you are not collecting anything. You say, Pastor, but that is a manipulation. Whether by manipulation or not, he said necessity is led. Paul said, some preach Christ of goodwill, another Christ of Wahala and all. Either way, Christ is. How can somebody be collecting your money and not be born again? No, you go born again. You go born again. Say, not by force. Yes, not by force. Because there are some people, you will drag them to heaven. They'll be cursing and angry and all. You say, you're following me whether you like it or not. Because I need to collect my reward from God. I cannot use my money on you and then fail. You lie. You will be born again. Can you see how simple this thing is? So rake all the dirty around first and then be going up. Then go to your friends. Say, nah. You know, we've been laughing about this matter, but it's a serious business. You have to be saved. You know how we were now. You say, I don't want to. Well, this is our friendship. We'll have to define it. Because me, I can't go to heaven and you go to hell. I say, it's very simple. And you see how my life has changed now. And then you say, and I'll just lead you in a prayer. Hold your hand. Say, Jesus, come into my... He said, that's all. Yes, that's all. Because no matter how weak it is, the Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. The Bible says the word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes in like nothing happened. And then the person will say, tomorrow they say, I have peace. Something happened. I slept peacefully. Say, that was what I was telling you. So come, let's do part two. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say, that one, I know Sabiam very well. I do it, but I don't know how to teach you. Come, I'll take you to our care group leader. That is evangelism. You don't need to stress yourself. You know First Thessalonians, you know Obadiah and Nahum. Say who? No. You are Obadiah, you are First Thessalonians, you are everybody. It's all in your life story. Yes, no, you don't have to know all the Bible. Just know your life. Share. So that is, then the next step is if you can, so rake all those ones and then be going up. Then there are some principalities and powers that you have to, Jesus said this one, go not out but by. There are some principalities that you are connected to that you have to pray and fast. That is when you are going to your Oga or to the people, to your sponsors. You pray and fast. They say, I know, sir. And you'll be begging them and begging. You know, some people, they say you will plead. Some you will drag. Some you will slap. Some you will pay. However, get them in. Say, oh, God, I beg. Don't be angry. But this is a necessity. If I don't do it, God will judge me. And then you say, please, can I speak to you? And then you begin to, they will listen to you. Because the Bible says, and lo, I am with you. And lo, I am with you. And lo, I am. There is no time you go to speak to anybody about God that he doesn't follow you. So some people you take to care group, some people you bring to church, some people you take them to another Christian who knows more than you. And say, I don't know, but come, let me take you to somebody that will help you. And then you take them to a Christian that is more than you.
If you bring them to church, they will be born again. Not on a Sunday like this, because our time is fast spent, is gone. But on another Sunday, although today we'll just pray the prayer too. And then another method of getting, of spreading the gospel is through church planting, like we're doing right now. There are some of you that will never do usher or greeter or sing in the choir because you don't have the time. Your own assignment is to bring money into the kingdom of God. They are kind, the kinds, there are, do you know that this whole place you are talking about is $1.5 million? And there are people who have it in this church. I can tell you. And it's God's money. So you, that kind of person, just give us your 1.5. We will be doing the preaching for you. But just make sure you preach to your own people. Did you hear me? Stand up, let's go home. My concluding statement, evangelism and soul winning is not an event, but it's a lifestyle. It is something you will do and you must form the habit of. It is not a start and stop. You know what happens in church? This time we're talking about evangelism, people will be doing it. And then when we stop, you stop evangelizing. No. When we stop talking, when was the last time we preached about tithe? You can't remember. Have you been giving your tithe? It's a habit. That is how evangelism is supposed to be. Whether we preach about it or not, you are doing it. So you will set your own targets twice a week, once a week, to go out and get somebody saved. Amen? You say, see, let me tell you something. Jesus was healing and doing everything, but he never said it is finished. It was after he connected God and man that he died and he said it is finished. You say, Pastor, when will I stop evangelizing? On your deathbed. That day when you are dying, everybody comes to greet you. You say, you are you saved? That one. I skipped again. You are dying, but you are evangelizing. You say, Pastor, where did you see that? It's in the Bible. On his deathbed, Jesus on the cross, he was evangelizing. The man said, today, remember me. He said, please, when you go to heaven, Jesus didn't say, I beg. Don't talk to me. Can't you say I'm in pain? I beg. No. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Put your hands on your chest. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Now I know that me and God connected is the most important thing. Father, take me. I am yours. I repent of my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I give up. I surrender to you. Use me. Make me a fisher of men. Through me, let souls come to you. I will be a good ambassador. I receive my ministry of reconciliation. I receive the word of reconciliation. Today, I make myself an epistle of Jesus. Amen. 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 Clap unto the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.